Over the last few weeks, we have been looking at the parables of Jesus. And these stories paint a picture of what the kingdom of God is like. And today we're looking at the final parable that Jesus told, and it's decision time. We've got to answer those essential questions of who is Jesus and how am I going to respond to him? Am I going to accept or am I going to reject? In many ways, this parable is aimed at those religious leaders that were opposing Jesus and his ministry. And in his final few days, Jesus is once more pleading with them not to reject him. This parable is in three of the Gospels, but we're going to look at it as we have been doing in Luke's account. So if you have a Bible, it would be great to grab it and open it up at Luke chapter 20 as we look at verses 9 to 19 and this parable verse by verse to try and understand what Jesus is saying and think about how it might apply to us. But these are Jesus's words, and we need to choose, are we going to reject or accept his words? The end of chapter 19 and the beginning of chapter 20 set the scene for this parable. This is the Tuesday of what we call Holy Week, and Jesus is just 72 hours away from the cross. He's in the temple, he's preaching the gospel to the crowds that have assembled for the Passover, but there's the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and other religious and community leaders that are plotting to kill him. So with that context, let's look at verse 9. Jesus went on to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, rented it out to some farmers, and went away for a long time. This would have been a familiar practice. A landowner plants a vineyard, goes away, and gets others to look after it. They live on the land, they work it, and they give to the owner part of the harvest that is owed to him. But of course, in this story, it all has a deeper meaning. Throughout the Old Testament, the imagery of a vineyard is used to describe Israel. You can have a look at Isaiah chapter 5, for example. So in this parable too, the vineyard represents Israel, and the man is God, and the tenants are the religious leaders. And this is the story of the Bible. God is the creator. He redeemed Israel out of slavery in Egypt. He chose them to be his special people. He gave them the land of Israel, and he called them to produce the fruit of blessings for the world. But in the history of the Bible, we see that the leaders failed constantly, and they never gave to God what he deserved. And it's the same in this story too. Let's look at verse 10. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. The tenants refuse to give the owner the fruit and they reject the servant. This is a picture of sin. It's refusing to give God what he deserves and rejecting his authority. Israel had failed to produce a harvest of prayer, worship, justice, and faithfulness. And so God sends his prophets to call Israel to repentance, but they constantly reject God's word. And the story goes on in verses 11 and 12. He sent another servant, but that one also they beat and treated shamefully and sent away empty-handed. He sent still a third and they wounded him and threw him out. These verses illustrate the patience of God and the persistence of sin. For hundreds of years, God sent his prophets to Israel, but the leaders stubbornly refused to listen. And this is a picture of every human heart. We were created to give glory to God, but we reject him. And the longer that we go on ignoring his word, the harder our heart becomes. Sin tightens its grip on us, and our rejection of God can become even more hostile. But yet God's love still continues. His patience endures. His desire for his people to come to him goes on. So he has a plan. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. "This is the heir," they said. "Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. The owner sending his son into the vineyard is to be understood as God sending Jesus. But Jesus is not just another prophet. He is God's beloved son. And here in these verses, he predicts how the leaders will conspire to kill him. Soon their rejection of God will be complete. With sinful actions, they will reject God's rule. With stubborn hearts, they will refuse God's word. And with selfish pride, they will murder God's son. But what will God do next? Let's rejoin this story. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. There are repercussions to rejection. In this parable, the wicked tenants are killed and the vineyard is given to new tenants. And this represents how the leadership of God's people was taken away from the Jewish leaders and given to Jesus and his disciples. You see, the plans and the promises of God are permanent, but the organizations, the authorities, the institutions, the systems, even the churches that they come through are all removable. And when the original audience heard this, they gasped, they were shocked. When the people heard this, they said, "God forbid." Jesus looked directly at them and asked, "Then what is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." Jesus quotes from Psalm 118, which is a messianic psalm about how God's chosen king will always triumph over his enemies. And the imagery switches from agriculture to construction. And the leaders are now compared to builders who think some stone is worthless and throw it away in the skip. And that shows how the leaders will reject Christ, how they'll have him arrested, give him an unfair trial, and then handed him over to be killed. But that's not the end. The cornerstone is the most important part of a building. And through his resurrection, Christ triumphs over his enemies. His resurrection means that he is now the foundation of his church. His resurrection shows the futility and the foolishness of standing in opposition against him. And his resurrection also shows that he is more than just an amazing storyteller. He is the Son of God. And then Jesus goes on to give what is a very severe warning of the judgment that is coming to those who continually reject Jesus and refuse to accept him as the Messiah. Let's look at verse 18. "Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." It doesn't matter if you drop a glass on a rock or drop a rock on a glass. The result for the glass is the same either way. It doesn't matter how you reject Christ or in what ways you oppose him. The result is always the same. But maybe you ask, well, what about love? What about forgiveness? But remember, it was precisely because of Christ's message of love that the religious leaders wanted to kill him. They wanted law, not grace. They wanted to feel superior to other people. They wanted to know that they were in and that others were out. They constantly rejected Christ's message and offer of grace again and again and again. And so they will receive his judgment. Just listen to how they respond to hearing this parable in verse 19. The teachers of the law and the chief priests looked for a way to arrest him immediately because they knew he had spoken this parable against them. But they were afraid of the people. They heard this parable and they knew that it was directed at them. Yet they chose to reject it and refused to listen. So what about us? Are we going to accept or are we going to reject? Will Jesus be your foundation stone of life or will he be a falling stone of destruction? For the second year in a row, it's looking like we will be unable to gather together for an Easter celebration. And some might start to think that Easter is non-essential. But let me tell you that there is nothing more essential to life than the events of Easter. Just 3 days after Jesus told this parable, he was murdered by the people who heard it. But then 3 days after that, he rose victorious from the grave. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. So how are you going to respond? Imagine for a moment that your heart is like the vineyard. Are you going to be like the wicked tenants? Are you going to reject God? Are you going to refuse to listen to his word and reject his son? Or are you going to accept God? Are you going to accept that your life belongs to God? Are you going to accept his love and his grace? Are you going to listen to his word? Are you going to produce a fruit of worship, of prayer, and of obedience? Are you ready to invite Jesus in? So how are you going to respond? If you do want to accept Jesus today, then why don't we say this prayer together? Lord Jesus, you are the stone the builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. I confess to you my sinful actions, the stubborn inclination of my heart, and all my selfish pride. Please forgive me. Today, I accept you as my God and invite you into my life. Holy Spirit, help me to listen and produce within me the fruit of worship and love. Amen.